Thank you very much, ladies. In a few moments, we'll be in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. I see we've got some donuts up here. A donut box. And crickets. All right. That's good. Yummy snacks. So I'll take those and save those till later. Maybe some of you can win the crickets. All right. How many of you have already eaten nachos today? Anybody? Oh, okay, good. That's great. Let's see. How many of you have, what else do we have out there? How about the cider, apple cider? Anybody do that? Okay. How many said, I don't have any money, but I wish somebody would buy something for me? Okay, a bunch of you there. All right, that's good. Good. Well, we've got some more activities left for the rest of the day, and we'll have a great time together, more refreshments and such. How many of you have eaten a lot of sugar already? All right, okay. I know it's just you just ate a lot of pizza, some pizza. Some of you could have eaten a lot more. And maybe next year we can give you 10 slices apiece. It just may cost you $20 to come instead of 8. But some of you would like to. How many of you have eaten another piece of pizza? Okay, even some girls out there. All right, that's good. So, all right, Judges chapter number 13. Is where we're going to begin. We're going to read about the beginning of a very familiar Bible character. And that Bible character, his name is Samson. Judges chapter 13, verse number 24, it says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And in those two verses, we read the humble beginnings of perhaps one of the most well-known Old Testament characters, his name, Samson. If I asked you this afternoon, I said, tell me something about Samson. Perhaps some of you would say, well, you know, Samson, he pulled the gates of a city up. This guy was strong. Somebody else would say, well, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an animal. And most of you would say this. You would say Samson was a strong man. But do you know that in reality, Samson was very weak? Some of you guys, you aspire to be strong. You say, I want big muscles, you know. I learned this, but you know, when it comes to these guys that weightlift, you know, there is a difference between lifting weights to, like, be strong and lifting weights to look strong, if you know what I mean. But there really is a difference. I'm not really into that. I do well to lift a fork every day whenever it comes to a meal. But many people would say Samson was a very strong man, but you know, it ought to be standing out in our minds much more that Samson was very weak. Samson had a weakness. Sometimes we don't like for people to know what our weakness is. Whenever I warm up, we used to have a ping pong table down in the commons, but it's gotten destroyed this afternoon. I walked by there and people had it taken apart and maybe they've put it back together, but one of the things I like to do is I like to play ping pong. But whenever I play, sometimes people will be like, well, let's warm up a little bit, you know. So you're just sort of hitting the ball back and forth. And I always like it when there's somebody that I don't know at all. I just pretend like I don't know what I'm doing. You know, we just hold the ball and it's like, now, this ball, I'll hit it to you, and so you hit it, and they're like, no, 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 when you serve it to me, it has to hit your side first, and then hit mine, and be like, oh, okay, you know, and so then you smack it down on your side, the ball, they're like, no, it's got to hit your side of the table, and then it's got to hit my side, oh, okay, all right, you know, and so they hit it back and forth, and you're sort of like, and that's the way some of you play anyway, right? You know, that kind of thing, and, you know, you're like, am I doing it right? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, you're coming along, and then, you know, they're like, well, are you ready to play now? And you're like, well, yeah, how do you do that? Well, we're going to ping it. So P-I-N-G. And, you know, you mess all that up. And finally, you know, they're like, okay, I'll hit to you and I'll go first. And I'll be like, oh, okay, you know. Then they'll hit it and it's like, boom. And then you're like, pow! You just crack it. And they're like, okay, that's not good. You know, I thought you really couldn't play. And But then, you know, I hate it when I'm warming up with somebody and they're sort of just exploring my weakness and they keep hitting to my backhand. I can crush it like this. But with a backhand, I'm just sort of like, you know, that's how I feel. And so a lot of times I'll just play way over to the side of the table and, you know, and I'm just like, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, you've got to lunge over there. But I hate it whenever I'm warming up and they just keep hitting it to my backhand. I just sort of hold my breath. I'm like, okay. Oh, please, please, would this one go over? Please, would you stop? Hit to this side of the table. Why? Because I don't want people to know my weakness. But just like Samson had a weakness, you do too. That weakness is your flesh. And while on many occasions I've preached to young people and I've told them how the devil is the enemy, you know what? You need to realize there is an enemy within each of you. It's called your flesh, and it'll destroy you. And all of you have this weakness. And so I want to look at Samson. I want to look at his life this afternoon. I want to give you a few principles to consider. And I hope you'll listen very carefully and that you'll make some promises to God before this day is out. And that you'll not repeat the same mistake that Samson made. Now we're going to begin this afternoon by talking first of all about Samson's devotion. That's found in verses 24 and 25. Not everything was bad about Samson. When Samson first started off, the Bible tells us in verse number 25, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp between Dan and Zorah and Eshtol." You know, there was a time early on in Samson's life, I think he started off right. He started off on the right foot. Samson could get before us today and say, "Now listen, I know I messed up, but in the early days, God was using me and I was moving." Or God was moving me, working through me. However, young people, listen to me, look this way. You better remember this. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, for Samson, he could say, "Hey, in those early days, I was being used of God." But he made decisions later on that ruined him and destroyed him. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart, when I preach to a youth group and I'm preaching and I see a bunch of seventh graders are like really earnest and eager. I mean, they're just excited to be in the youth group. You know, they've been pestering the high schoolers since sixth grade. They're like, "Oh, next year we'll get to go with you. Next year we'll go. Oh, we can't wait. We want to be a part of the youth group. We can't. Oh, this is great." And they come in as seventh graders and boy, they're wide open and you see that they're just soaking in everything. And then you see the rest of them on the back pew. You know, the seniors. Arms kicked back. You know, there was a time they were a hyperactive seventh grader, just excited to be in the teen group. But all of a sudden, you know, the older you get, the more cool you become. By the way, can I tell you, the more cool you look, it really doesn't look cool. And sometimes it's like there is a hardening. It's like the longer they go through their junior high and senior high years, the harder their heart gets. I come back years later and I see them and that eagerness that they had as a seventh grader, it is gone, it has disappeared, and now it's like a senior, "Bless me if you can." Let me tell you, if you're in that vicious cycle, you better remember something. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's a shame when you see somebody when they were a seventh grader, they had a tender heart, and now when they're a senior in high school, all of a sudden they've become hard. And I think that progression took place in Samson's life. He started off early with a devotion, but it disappeared. I wonder if there's some of you here, if I talk to your youth sponsor, now I would not do this, all right? But let's say I'm purchasing some apple cider and a youth sponsor was right there with me and I said, "Hey, you see that kid over there? Yeah, the funny looking one, yeah." They're like, "Yeah, he's in our youth group." And I say, "You know, tell me about him." Would your youth sponsor say, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. 3 years ago, I'm telling you, that guy, he was just like on fire and now there's just a great coolness that's taking place in his heart." They say, "Oh, that young lady, there was a time when she'd come into the youth group, she always had a smile, and now it's like, bless me if you can. That's just really unusual." It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Samson started out with devotion. But number two, and this is where we spend most of our time, I want you to see Samson's decisions. You know, right now, today, for you, maybe you felt like some of the hardest decisions was like, do I buy a Mountain Dew or do I buy an energy drink? Now, I don't have to make that decision. I'm not going to buy an energy drink. I'm afraid it'll just make me like a squirrel on Ritalin or something. I just hyper me up. But you know, the older you get, those choices, they carry greater significance. And you know, you've got some choices ahead of you. Listen, right now is the time you better make up your mind. Don't you wait until you get into the throes of it and then you try to make up your mind. You ought to make up your mind right now in some areas of your life. Samson made some decisions, and those decisions ended up ruining him. It affected his future. You know, I think it stands to reason, you know, the younger you are, the more future, and of course our days are in the hands of God, but the younger you are, the more of life you have before of you, humanly speaking. In other words, the decisions you make right now, they can haunt you for a long time or they can help you for a long time. And Samson made three decisions that I want to talk to you about. Now listen to me. These three decisions all have one thing in common. Here's the one thing in common. In each of them, Samson made a decision to forsake the power of God for the sake of his flesh. That was the decision he made. It's what I want. But Samson made the choice, I'll do what I want, and I'll do it at the expense of having God's blessing. And he made those decisions, and they were threefold. Let me give you what those three decisions were. Number one, he made a decision for a Philistine wife. You say, what do you mean? Listen to this in Judges chapter 14 and verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and he said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Now let's stop there and think about it for a moment. Let's break it down. Samson goes down to Timnath, and he sees a daughter of the Philistines. You say, what's the significance of that? Here's the significance of it. The Philistines were the enemy of God. The Philistines were battling God's people. They were God's enemy. And God had given an express forbidding for an Israelite to marry a Philistine in that context. In other words, it was not God's will for this to happen in the sense that God said, I want the Israelites to marry the Philistines. Now, God permits it to happen, and He uses it as an illustration in the days to come. But God, that wasn't what God wanted for Samson. And so Samson goes to his mom and dad, and he sees this gal, and he says, Mom and Dad, get her for me to wife. Now, fellas, what would you think? You're in the church youth group at church, and you look around, and you say, boy, I really like that girl. And so you go home at night, you're talking to your dad after church, and you say, Dad, I like her, get her for me to wife. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Some of you ladies are like, I'm very grateful that they don't do that in our day and time. Some of you fellas, that's the only way you're going to get a wife. Dad, take her, hogtie her, and make her marry me, you know? And I want you to notice the mom and dad's response in verse number 3. Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, it's like he didn't hear a thing, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You said, do you think he said it that way? I don't think he said, get her for me. No, I think he did. I think he just probably buckled his feet a little bit down to the ground and said, you know what? I know what I want. Get her! You know, Samson's not the only person to ever treat his parents that way. Young people, one of the greatest decisions you'll make in your life outside of being saved and surrendered to God, listen to me, is who you're going to marry. And sometimes mom and dad look at you and say, uh-uh, and you're like, mm-hmm. You know who you're acting like? I'm going to tell you who you're acting like, Samson. You know, some things you don't have to pray about. You say, we should pray about everything. Yeah, but you know, it's like me praying about killing you. That doesn't make sense, right? Oh, Lord, I'd like to kill this person. Please help me. No use praying about that. And you know what? If your mom and dad set their foot down and say no, you know what? You don't even have to pray about it. You just drop it. You say, listen, you can say whatever you want, but Samson makes the mistake. But Samson made the decision to marry a Philistine wife. God had made it plain. He told the Israelites, you're not going. And by the way, young people, do you know God has made it plain for you? If you're a Christian teenager, listen to me, you're not to marry an unsaved boy or girl. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 makes it clear you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and definitely not in the marriage bond. You say, well, man, he's just handsome. You know what? You can marry handsome, but one day that handsome wears off. You say, well, man, haven't you? I mean, this gal, she's beautiful. All I'm just telling you is you can see something and you say, I really like it. That's what Samson said. But Samson disobeyed, and Samson would later regret it. And young people, I think at this stage of your life, every Christian teenager in this room, you ought to make up your mind to follow God rather than your feelings and marry the person that God wants you to have rather than have the way of the flesh. And you know what my challenge is to you today? Why don't you make up your mind that that's exactly what you're going to do? You say, well, listen, you make up your mind about other things, don't you? Hey, there's some of you young ladies, you make up your mind, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat broccoli. Now, you ought to, if your parents serve it to you, you ought to eat it. You may not smile while you're eating it, but you can eat it. You make up your mind. You'd say, I'd never do this, I'd never do that. Why can't, if you can make up, sometimes people make up their minds, they're going to do something wrong. If you can make up your mind that you're going to do something wrong, why can't you make up your mind to do something right? You can. You're a teenager. You're not an invalid. You have a will. And I challenge you to make a choice this afternoon if you have not. You say, when it comes to a life's mate, what my parents say and what the Bible says are of great importance to me, and I will not disobey. You say, that scares me. You know, there's something worse than being scared of obeying God. You say, what's that? Being scared of disobeying Him. Young man, are you willing to make that choice? Are you willing to make that commitment? You know what? I'm not going to set my eyes towards the unsaved. Listen, I'm not going to set my mind towards those that mom and dad would beg me and plead me. I'm going to listen. Or are you just going to make up your mind to do your own thing? He made a decision for a Philistine wife. You know, another decision he made was that he made a decision for honey. Now, this is where you're like, oh, this is like crazy. Preacher gets up. What did he preach against? He preached against eating honey. Well, let me read it and then let me explain it before you judge me. In Judges chapter 14, verse number 5, it says, then went Samson down and to his father and his mother and to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. By the way, that's not a small child it's talking about there. And he had nothing in his hand, but he had not told his father or mother what he had done. Now let's stop there for a second. Samson's just taking a stroll down through the woods. And all of a sudden, roar! Now, at that point, we're doing this, me and you. You say, I can't outrun a lion. You're right, but as long as I can outrun you, I'm good. But what did Samson do? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson, and Samson does something that you and I would have never done. He walks up to it, he grabs one paw, rips that arm off. Grabs another, and he rips that off, and maybe he beats the lion with his own arms and legs. When it says it rent him, I mean just ripped him apart. Now, had I seen that, I'd have been like, you say that didn't really happen. Yes, it did. That's what the Bible says. But then in verse number 7, it says, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. In verse 8, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Walking back through the woods again. Oh, yeah, this is where I whipped that lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He goes and he looks at this carcass, and he sees honey in it. And so you know what he does? And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. Now let's stop there for a second. This looks great and innocent. I mean, this is cool. This man whips a lion with his bare hands. He sees honey in the carcass on the way home, and he's like, hey, man, let's get some of this. And he's like, hey, Mom and Dad, he gets home. You got to try this. This is good. Now you're like, what in the world is wrong with honey? Listen, there's nothing wrong with honey, all right? So those of you that eat Honey Nut Cheerios, you're okay. But here's the overlooked item. When Samson was a baby, he was under, and for all of his life, a Nazirite vow. There are a lot of things that were restrictions in his life that were not restrictions for everybody else. And one of those restrictions was touching an unclean thing. He wasn't to get near and to touch a dead carcass. And yet anyway, he grabs that honey and he gives to his parents. And that's why you see at the end of the next verse, it says, and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You know why he didn't tell his parents? Because he knew that he had broken that Nazirite vow. Now I want you to look this way. I want to ask you a question. You ever hidden anything from your parents? Usually you don't hide doing right, do you? Mom and Dad, I didn't want you to find out, but I bathed my little siblings and I fed them all and gave them hugs and kisses and did anything they wanted. I wanted to take care of them for you, but I didn't want you to know, Mom and Dad. I don't think we've ever hidden our good deeds, but we hide our bad ones, don't we? Now, a lot of you are looking at me sort of foreign right now. What are you saying? Listen, why don't you rip your mask off for a moment and just be real, okay? Just like Samson hid things from his mom and dad that he knew were wrong, you know what? Teenagers in this room do the same thing. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest devices that people say is used for good that can be used for evil, that right there. You know why some of you get offended when your parents touch your smartphone? Because you don't want them to know who you've been talking to, who you've been communicating with. Your parents say, now listen, don't you start up that relationship, or I don't want you talking this way to people. And you know that right here on your phone, the reason you treat that as a sacred cow, you know why? Because you're hiding it from Mom and Dad. You know this is the truth. You can take a smartphone from a teenager for 10 minutes or an hour and it enrages them. You take their Bible away for a week and they don't miss it. I want to ask you, are you hiding anything on this that you don't want Mom and Dad to know about? Because I'm telling you, if that's you, you're just like Samson. Samson made a decision for honey. He said, boy, I want that honey. But he was willing to break the rules in order to get it. That's what was wrong. He made a decision. I want what my flesh wants. I don't care what God says. And if you have that same attitude, young people, it will destroy you. I wonder if there's a Samson in here. People look at you and they say, man, this is the coolest person in the youth group. I want to be like him one day. And they think you're strong, but in reality, you're so weak. Samson made the decision for a Philistine wife. Samson made a decision for honey. But you know, Samson made a decision for immorality. You know, to be quite honest, young people, I don't really like saying a whole lot about this subject of immorality because you want to have propriety, you want to be careful in what you have to say. But young people, we live in a world today that has cheapened God's gift so much that I'm talking about people your age and below. Listen to me. They have been taught immorality as a normal way of life. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You're a 13-year-old in here and you're like, boy, I haven't even thought about getting married. Well, listen, you know what you can do as a 13-year-old? Here's what you can do. You can make up your mind that God's plan is marriage, and even as a 13-year-old young man or young lady, you say, you know what, I'm going to treat my body with respect, and I'm going to be holy because God has a plan called marriage, and I can't improve on God's plan, and that's what I want. You better do that now as a 13-year-old. Remember these guys I was talking about that are still playing with Legos that you don't know about? I bet you some of you after that chapel service, you're like, hey, do you play with Legos, man? Hey, let me tell you something, fellas. You play with those Legos as long as you can, but you make up your mind, even as a 13-year-old kid, you're like, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, God has a plan. It's called marriage, and that's going to be my plan too. You better make up your mind now. Because the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16 that Samson found a harlot and committed immorality. Here's what it boils down to. Samson's pursuit of physical pleasure was stronger than his pursuit of God. That's what it boils down to. Listen, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for some young people here today that'll say, I'm not going to make the same mistake as Samson. There are some of you today, listen, you need to put a flag in your soul today and say, listen, I'm not going to marry an unsafe person, and mom and dad and God's opinion and their thoughts are going to mean a lot more to me than what I feel and what I think. There are some of you here, listen, you've got some things in your life you're hiding from mom and dad just like Samson hid the idea where that honey came from. Listen, you've got some things this afternoon that you know aren't right. You can either leave here like Samson or you can make it right. And for every one of you, you need to make up your mind, God's plan of marriage, that's the way that I need to go and not make the mistake of Samson. So number one, you see Samson's devotion. Number two, you see Samson's decisions. Number three, you see Samson's destruction. Judges chapter 16 outlines the destruction of Samson. And do you know what, young people? I'm going to tell you, it's a sad story to read. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read the text, but can I just give you a summary of it, make a few remarks, and we're done this afternoon? Samson comes upon a woman. Her name's Delilah. Delilah is no doubt a beautiful woman. And Delilah comes up to Samson, and maybe she was from southern Philistia or southern Israel, wherever it was. And she comes up to Samson, and she says, hey, big boy, what's the secret of your strength? Old Samson, big oaf. Oh, well, if you tie up seven green withes and tie me up with them, I'll lose my strength. Oh, okay. Go to sleep. You said it really happened that way? Probably not. Samson starts sawing logs, and Delilah says, psst, the Philistines go to work. I mean, man, they're out there, they're tying him up, he's sleeping, and all of a sudden when he wakes up, now how many of you hate to hear the sound of your alarm clock in the morning? Oh, that's what I thought, that's what I thought. Yeah, I hear you on school morning. Hey, and so listen, this was Samson's alarm clock. Samson's asleep, and all of a sudden, instead of hearing, meh, 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 this is what he hears. Samson, the Philistines are upon thee! In other words, Samson, the enemy of God is here. They're here to take you. Samson wakes up and he's like, breaks out of it. Now, at that point in the game, had I been Samson, I hoped I'd have enough sense to say, I know what you're up to, Delilah. You're trying to get me killed. You just leave me alone, asking me the secret of my strength. And then having the nerve to do exactly what I told you was the secret of my strength. But he didn't do that. She comes back to him. Hey, Samson. Samson, you lied to me. What's the secret of your strength?
If you tie me up with new ropes, I'll lose my strength.
Go to sleep. Samson's sawing logs. Delilah's like, psst, hey, tie him up with new ropes. If I'd been one of those Philistines, I'd have been like, yeah, like the green withes, yeah. They tie him up with new ropes, and instead of hearing, bang, 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 here's his alarm clock. Samson, the Philistines are upon thee! Now, Samson, let's give him credit. Let's say he's not an A scholar here. I would think after a while, Samson would be like, No, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But Delilah, I know what you're up to. I told you this twice, and you did it twice. You're trying to kill me. So it's over. How many of you think you'd have gotten it right by the second time? Huh? Yeah, oh, lots of intelligent teenagers in here. That's great. Samson. What's the secret of your strength?
Well, if you weave my hair with the web, long hair, I'll lose my strength.
Go to sleep. He's sawing logs and they weave his hair like a web. And instead of hearing, okay, folks, hey, after that time, listen, some of you are really dense. There's some of you, it takes a while to get it. I understand that. Sort of like having earphones on, listening to bagpipe music. After like 500 tries, dead puppies or whatever the phrase is, you know, finally get it right. Some of you are a little dense. Look at you during the service. But I think even the most dense of you in here.
Listen, shame on you. You get me once. Shame on you. You get me twice. This third time, I have finally got it figured out. Leave me alone.
She comes back to him again. She says, Samson, you've lied to me. What is the secret of your strength? And the Bible says that Delilah pressed him sore. She nagged him. Samson, don't even look at me if you're not going to tell me the secret of your strength. I'd have been like, don't look at me if you're going to try to kill me. She nagged him and she nagged him, and finally he says, if you'll cut my hair. Go to sleep. It's hard to imagine somebody would be that stupid, if I can use that word. I know it's not a pleasant word to use. I think every one of us in this room, we got it figured out. We're like, not doing it. But not Samson. You know why? Because Samson was so drunk with his own lust, he couldn't see the obvious. You know what I've done? I've met teenagers, listen, I don't think they've ever taken their first drop of alcohol But they were so drunk with their own lust, they didn't have enough sense to look and see what everybody else saw. You know, there's some young ladies in this room. Listen, you've got a bright future ahead of you, but you're going to ruin it because you're so drunk with your own feelings and your own lust that you can't see what everybody else sees. And it'll drive you to your destruction. There's some of you fellas in here. Listen, everybody else gets it but you and your family. You know why? Because all you can think about is her. I can't imagine how helpless Samson must have felt when that last time he heard this phrase, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee!" Opens his eyes. I can't imagine the fear that must have rolled over his soul as he is carted out by the Philistines and they're rather ruthless with him. The Bible tells us that they pluck out his eyes and they use him for a task that a beast of burden would do in just grinding with a millstone, pulling that stone. Blinded, humiliated, and then they laugh at him and they're like, "Ha ha, there's the champion of Israel. Boy, look at him. He's really something." They mocked him. They mocked God. They plucked his eyes out and they embarrassed him. And young people, the devil wants to do the same exact thing with you. He wants to take something that has a lot of potential and embarrass you. He doesn't care. Some people say, "Well, Samson, it was sort of like really cool at his death." You remember hearing about that? Somebody say, "Yeah, after a while, Samson's hair began to grow back. He was wanting to regain his strength. And so he asks a young lad, he said, where are the pillars at on this place? All the Philistines are having a party. Samson puts one hand here and one hand here. And then Samson prays for his strength to be restored. All he wants is revenge upon the Philistines. It's not so much about the glory of God. And Samson, in his return of strength, pushes the pillars. Everybody, including himself, is killed. And somebody says, wow, that's like pretty cool. Like, I mean, that's like a great action scene where all of a sudden he kills all of God's enemies. So Samson was used mightily. Listen to me. Samson could have been used a lot more if he'd listened to God in Judges 14. Rather than having to die the way he did in Judges 16. You know what it all boils down to? I'm going to tell you, it boils down to decisions. I can't make your future for you. Your parents can't make your future for you. You know what happens? You make it with the decisions that you make. Right now, it's Lay's or Doritos, Monster or Red Bull. You know, salad or, you know, junk food. Those are the decisions right now. But let me tell you, you better make some decisions now that Samson should have made. And I'm going to ask you as we close this service, I wonder if you'll make the right decision or you'll continue to conclude you'll continue to go in your life the way of the flesh as Samson did. I want you to bow your heads with me if you would. I'm not going to have an invitation song per se. I'm not going to have a formal come forward invitation or go backwards invitation, but I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to ask you some questions. I wonder how many of you in this room, this you tell me right now, you'd say, "Brother Beal, I know that I'm a Christian teenager, but I'm going to tell you, I know that there's been some things in my life right now that I'm hiding from my parents as a Christian teenager. And I know I need to make those things right." It may be on your phone, it may be on your computer, it may be relationships that you have. Now, it's not my business. I'm not going to sit here and ask you right now what those specific things are. But I wonder how many of you in this room, you'd say, "Brother Beal, I'm a Christian teenager, I know I'm saved. But this afternoon, I know that there's some things that I'm hiding from my mom and dad, just like Samson hid that honey that was gathered from the carcass of the lion." And you say, "I know that if I'm going to get right with God, I need to come clean." and God's dealt with my heart about hiding things from my parents, you'd say, Brother Bill, would you pray for me as a Christian teenager? Listen, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and keep it up? All right, thank you. You may put them down. Listen, anybody else, along with these, you'd raise your hand and say, Brother Bill, there's things I'm hiding from my mom and dad. Along with these that have already raised their hands, you'd say, Brother Bill, I know that in order to get right with God, I need to come clean about those things. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? Just slip it up high. Don't worry about anybody else. You'd say, Brother Bill, would you pray for me? All right, now I'm going to ask you another question or two, and I want you to listen carefully. The first question is this. I wonder how many of you in this room, you'd say, Brother Bill, I have already made this decision in my life as a teenager that I will not marry an unsaved person. And not only that, but I know that I need to heed the counsel of my parents and those in authority over me. And you'd say, Brother Bill, as a Christian teenager, I've already made that decision that I'm not going to marry an unsafe person, and I'm going to listen to the counsel of my parents and my godly authority. And you say, that's a decision that I've already made in my life as a Christian teenager. If you have already made that decision, would you stand to your feet? If not, that's you stay seated. But if you already have, would you just stand to your feet? Now, if you haven't, just stay seated. That's okay. Now, for all of you that are standing, let me tell you something. You be a man or a woman of your word. Now, I wonder how many of you would say, you know, Brother Bill, I've never really heard this before, but I'll tell you what. It's been made plain to me today, and by God's grace, I'm willing to make that commitment and say, I'm not going to marry an unsafe person, and you know what? I am going to listen to my parents, and I am going to pay attention to godly authority, and I'm willing to make that commitment today. If that's you, would you stand to your feet and join these that are already standing? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray as we close this service. You know what I ask you to do right where you're standing? I want you to tell God about that commitment in your heart and mean it. And I promise you, you'll have no regret. Everybody join me in standing, if you would. Everybody standing together, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and the powerful examples that it has. And we think about the life of Samson, Lord. Lord, help us not to love our flesh more than we love you. We'll always destroy ourselves. And Lord, as we close the service today, my prayer is twofold. Number one, I pray for those here. They know they're hiding things from mom and dad. There's some of them say, I know that in order to get right with God, I need to come clean with that. I pray that before the day is out that they would do that. Lord, I pray for others here that know that they hide things from mom and dad, and yet, Lord, their hearts are unbroken. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue His work in their hearts. And Lord, I pray for those here today that have been willing to make the commitment to marry a saved individual that has a heart for you and to listen to mom and dad, and Lord, to their godly authorities, and that, Father, they would have a sensitivity to that, and that, Lord, for these that have already made that decision, God, they'd not forsake it. Lord, Samson was strong, but yet he was so very weak. God, may you preserve us and shield us and help us to not make the same mistakes as Samson. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.